Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, December 15th, 2013. This is episode 1040. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit TV shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Visit HuluPlus.com/TWiT to start your free two-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/TWiT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at Gazelle.com. And by RingCentral. I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral is as low as $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. When you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use our promo code TWIT. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, and it's time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and smartphones, digital photography too. In fact, our digital camera buying guide coming up all ahead on this very radio program as we count down the days to Christmas, and the Christmas buying season is underway. Our phone number is 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Otherwise, just use Skype. It'll be toll-free, too. You know, use Skype or one of them VoIP products. It won't cost you a thing. 888-827-5536, toll-free. And the website is techguylabs.com. When I talk about a product or mention a website or something like that, all of that, that'll be at techguylabs.com. Heather Hummond, the phone ranger, is here, ready to take your calls. She's wearing a Union Jack on her back. Are you a Anglophile?
Is that yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I'm wearing reindeer on my back. So I'm a Santaphile, I guess you'd call
it. It's like ugly Christmas sweater day or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Is this that ugly? Santa's got a...
Oh, God, it's horrible, Leo. Would you really wear that
got
somewhere?
Got a sleigh with a flame coming out of it, you know, because it's turbocharged. And the presents are flying off down the shirt.
Oh, I didn't see that part. Yeah. Lovely. Oh, and a candy cane.
And this is embroidered. This is hand embroidered. This is no...
This is expensive.
This is not a decal.
Is it Tommy Bahama?
It's a not. It's kind of a fake Tommy Bahama.
Yeah.
And then the reindeer on the back. There's got to be a palm tree, though, if it's going to be Tommy Bahama. And yes, indeed.
It does have a palm tree.
There seems to be an island with a surfboard on it on the back.
Gotta love it.
I save this all year just for this occasion. So, phone number. Let's open those lines. Have you opened the
release
lines?
Release the hounds.
Release the hounds. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. We'll get Heather to work here answering your calls. Let's see. I don't want to talk about grim stuff like the fact that the NSA, the big spy agency, is watching people in video games because it turns out they're afraid terrorists are going to work, you know, in the chat rooms of the video game. I don't want to talk about that. That seems so unfestive. I want to talk about festive stuff, cheer up stuff. I'm looking for something festive to talk about. I don't know what. Apple's 12 Days of Digital Gifts goes live the day after Christmas. But they're gifts to you. They're not gifts for giving. You have to download an app for your iPhone. You should download it for your iPhone, Heather. And it just sits there and says 16 days left. Or 11. I guess it's 11 days left to the... It's odd that they're doing it the day after Christmas. I don't see anything really festive to talk about. Maybe let's just be cheerful. It's snowing all over the country. I'm looking. Netflix says the fastest internet belongs not to the U.S., but to the Netherlands. See, that's not cheerful. So Netflix, which just recently launched in Holland, has been there long enough now to have been able to say that in the Netherlands, people who watch Netflix get the best bandwidth. But you'd be surprised. The best bandwidth averages 3.16 megabits per second. It's not a whole lot, is it? I mean, don't we get advertised like our cable company says, oh, you're going to get 20? Even your lowly DSL provider says 10 or 5, right? Denmark and Sweden, 2.83 and 2.8 megabits. Mexico, 1.77 megabits. That's the last. That's the lowest. Just below Ireland and the U.S. How we get so low on the totem pole there? Number one in the USA, number one internet service provider, Google Fiber. See, if you're lucky enough to live in Kansas City and you got Google Fiber, I guess it's coming to Austin and Provo, Utah soon. But I don't think Google wants to make a business out of this. 3.59 megabits. Cablevision, which is in Long Island and in New York, second. Cox Cable, third. Then Suddenlink, Charter, Verizon Fios, Time Warner Cable, Bright House, and the number one internet service provider in the country, Comcast, comes in ninth overall, averaging 1.82 megabits. See, this is kind of what I've been saying all along, is that you read the as fast as 20 megabits, but what it really is with Netflix is, what's your sustained, your throughput, like, for 2 hours? It's a lot lower. Here's some cheerful news. Facebook's keeping track of what you didn't post. Apparently, you know, if you type something in, start typing something in a status message or a post on Facebook and then cancel it, still goes to Facebook servers and they still keep track of it. Facebook calls these unposted thoughts self-censorship. And we know this because of a paper just posted by two Facebook employees, Adam Kramer, who's a Facebook data scientist, and his intern, Sovik Das, who's a graduate student at Carnegie Mellon, published an article presenting their study of the self-censorship behavior collected from 5 million English-speaking Facebook users. It looks at status updates that were canceled, posts on other people's timelines that were aborted, comments on other people's posts that you thought better of. Yes, they're collecting them. Oh, great. I don't know what they do with it. It does say, if you read their data use policy, that the company collects information you choose to share or when you view or otherwise interact with things. So it doesn't. You don't actually have to share it. Just you know, kind of start to type. That's all you have to do. Criminally. And now we learn that Facebook, according to Popular Science, is looking at your photos to learn about you through machine learning. I just, you know, do you still use Facebook? I'm starting to think I should stop. I don't know. It's scary. See, and I wanted something cheerful. Let's find something cheerful to talk about. Surely, Google bought a scary military robot company this week. I mean, scary. When you see these robots, it's a company called Boston Dynamics. They make robots for the military. They make the fastest robot, a robot that can outrun Usain Bolt. They're not, these are gas-powered robots that look like a cheetah. They're on legs. They can go over stuff. They even have a video of one. This is Terminator stuff. They have a video of one walking over logs and stuff. A guy kicks it, tries to kick it over. It bounces back. They call it Big Dog. Atlas. Cheetah. There's one that can hurl cinder blocks 17 feet. What does Google want with these robots? I'm scared. I'm really nervous that you know, this is the eighth robotics company Google has bought this year. Because apparently Google is very interested in robots for I don't know what. You know, I just don't like the idea at all. Okay, that's not cheerful either. I need something cheerful, something festive, something in the holiday spirit. I want to get one of these. It's called Catchbox. It's a microphone that comes in a foam rubber box that, you know how you're at a conference or a convention or you're in the, you know, Phil Donahue audience and they have to run out a microphone to you? They can throw you this microphone. I want a microphone I can throw at you, Heather.
I like it.
Merry Christmas.
And it won't hurt her. It will.
No, it won't hurt. It's soft. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Happy holidays from the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Let's just take a lot of calls today. That's what I want to do today. Heather Hammond is our phone ranger. You'll be calling her. And who is our first call of the day, Heather?
Marilyn needs some help as she's transitioning from the office to home with regard to her computing.
Uh-huh. Marilyn in Highland Park.
Hi, Leo.
Hi, Marilyn.
My question is, I've had a computer at work for many years, and now I want to buy one at home, finally.
First home computer.
That's right. And so, of course, I have telephone and TV now, but I don't have any internet service yet because I don't have the computer yet. And here in where I live in Highland Park, New Jersey, I have a choice of either Optimum, which is Cablevision, or Verizon Fios.
Whoa!
And you can get these packages, you know, the TV, phone, and internet. So I wanted to know what's the difference between the two of them and which is better.
Whoa. So you're very lucky. You have two very good choices. This is the case across the country. The FCC created duopolies in almost every region of the country where you have two choices, a cable company and a phone company. In your case, however, the phone company is Verizon, wired or glassed, I guess we should say, a bunch of communities. They've stopped doing that, by the way. It was very expensive. It ranged $5,000 to $8,000 per customer. And so they trenched at some point outside your house and put in fiber optic cable. It's very fast. It would certainly be the fastest choice, but you're lucky because it turns out Optimum Cablevision's service is, and I just read the list of the top 10, is one of the top. It's number two in the country. It's very good cable service. So frankly, the choice is, you know, both are excellent. Both are excellent. And is the price similar?
Yeah, I mean, they have deals. You know, sometimes it's for the first year, it might be $89.99 for the first year. Sometimes they'll lower it to $79.99 for the first year.
Yeah, don't look at the first year because that's, mm-hmm. of course, that's the tease, right? What you want to know is what does it turn into after the mm-hmm. first year?
Right.
Because that's the one you're probably going to be with for a while. Right. I would say, you know, there are pros and cons on both sides. I think both are very good. I know people who have both and are very happy with both. Really, the speeds are going to be similar. In fact, let me go back and look at this thing. Because Netflix is one of the things people do a lot of is watch Netflix. And they really have a very, very good idea of how much, you know, real world bandwidth you have. That's very valuable. And so, you know, you don't have Google. The one thing that's better is Google Fiber. You don't have that as an option, but you have the other two are on the top list there. You know, I don't think there's, you know, here's, okay, you want to know the difference. I'll tell you the difference. The big difference is where the bandwidth that you're going to share lives. And with a cable company, what they do is they bring a certain amount of bandwidth to your neighborhood and then divide it among all your neighbors.
Okay.
With a phone company, all the bandwidth goes to their central office and then it goes out to their neighbors. And I'm pretty sure that Fios does the same thing. So sometimes Fios is going to be less impacted by what your neighbors are up to. If you live in a neighborhood where you got a lot of geeks who are downloading a lot of stuff or watching, then it might be that Fios would be a better choice. The Verizon would be a better choice. Both of them want to do triple play with you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
TV
right.
is better with, I'll be honest, with the cable company, the TV is better. The Verizon does not have the same variety of channels. So if that's important to you, I would look at the channels that you can get and what the TV costs.
Okay.
cable might be a little less reliable than fiber because it's an older installation.
Yeah.
Boy, I think you couldn't go wrong. I wish I had your choices.
See, unfortunately, one thing I'm losing no matter what I do is right now I have copper wire in my apartment here. And so for landline service, when we had our big Superstorm Sandy, you might have heard of Superstorm Sandy.
Yeah, I heard about that.
My landline phone, my cordless phone, of course, I had no electricity for 12 days. My cordless phone, of course, did not work. My cell phone worked when it was charged.
Yes.
But my old-time landline corded phone worked perfectly the entire time.
Now, here's the deal. You tell Verizon, if you'd go with Verizon, you're right. When they do that, they will cut the copper. You tell them, do not cut the copper. You might have to stand over them. But you can say, do not cut the copper. I want the copper.
They're saying at some point that's optional, but at some point it's going to be mandatory that they're going to remove.
Well, they hope. They wish. The FCC will never allow it.
Oh, that's good to know.
For the reason you just described,
mm-hmm.
the copper is the only thing that really works
in
storms.
It's true.
And it was because Ma Bell was designed to be reliable, and the power for that phone comes from the central office where they have generators.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Fios, it doesn't work. Now, but of course, when you go to Fios or Optimum, and if you get phone service from them, in both cases, it'll be battery backed up, and it will die.
Right. After 8 hours, I'm told. Yeah. So I could get the Fios though without and keep the copper.
Yep. You have to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say under no circumstances are you to cut the copper. And you go to your public utility commission if they do. They're not allowed to.
Yeah.
They will try to because they don't. You know they spend a lot of money wiring you up with glass.
Yeah.
And they don't want you to. They would. The reason is if you keep the copper, then a third party. There are other choices for DSL, right? Like our advertiser DSL Extreme. Those are required. The FCC mandates that if there's copper that they offer that, and they don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. So, now DSL is not Fios then.
No.
It's different.
It's a copper-based technology.
Okay.
So Fios is much better. I'm looking, as I said, at this Netflix list. Number one, Google Fiber. Number two, Optimum. Then Cox, Suddenlink, Charter, and Verizon.
So
Verizon's number six, Optimum's number two, and that's from Netflix. Now, there's not a huge difference. It's about a half a megabit per second difference.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that says that, you know, in this case, Cablevision is faster. I would say decide by price. Both will be very good for you. I'm so jealous.
Now, either one, this won't make a difference. I'm going to be running software. I'm blind, so I'm going to be having on this computer JAWS for screen reading software, JAWS for Windows.
Won't make any difference.
Kurzweil 1000. That
won't affect that at all. And make sure that you get them to put Wi-Fi in so that you can go around the house.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Because you're blind, I'm wondering if any government agencies get involved in this, you might be able to get a reduced price.
Yeah, the Commission for the Blind and Visually.
Yeah, I would inquire.
Right.
You might be able to get a better deal.
Right. Well, they don't do anything with the, but they can help with maybe with the computer because I'm getting a computer.
Well, they certainly will do that, and that's awesome.
I'm getting a place from a place in Rhode Island, out of Rhode Island, they will put everything together.
Good.
It's a solution place that'll put all
that's
the
That's what you want. Yeah, and they'll teach and they'll show you how to use JAWS. I presume, do you use JAWS at work?
Yes. So I know how to use the stuff, but, and they're keeping Windows 7, they said, this company, because they said Windows 8 is horrible.
Yep. They're not alone in that feeling.
So they're keeping Windows 7 for as long as they can on what they send
out. And
you
already know how to use it.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Right. But I just didn't have it at home. So
Marilyn, you can't lose. You are one of the luckiest people in the world. The only thing that could be better is if you had Google Fiber 2, and then I'd really be mad. Enjoy your new setup. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by our good buddies at Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus takes your iPad or your, I'll show you. It's on my iPad or your computer or your smart device and lets you just kind of binge on TV shows and stuff you like. I always have Hulu running on here. Let me just type in, H-U-L, there it is, Hulu Plus. And you'll see the variety of stuff. Now, it's one way I catch up on my network TV shows. I don't stay up late enough to watch Kimmel or any of those shows, so I can catch up on those. I like The Daily Show. Always like to watch the clips there. Saturday Night Live is a little too late for me. What's going to happen to Brian? We'll find out first Plus, they also have exclusive content, Hulu Originals like The Wrong Mans or Behind the Mask. That's their new docuseries. It takes you inside the worlds of sports mascots. There is so much stuff on Hulu Plus. It's just a great thing to have on your system because you can catch up on TV shows. You can binge on thousands of hit shows. Every episode of shows like Lost, Doctor Who, Community, Star Trek, and all this for $7.99 a month. I just love it. Hulu Plus quality is spectacular. I just love it. Now, here's the deal. This is a good time to do it because if you visit HuluPlus.com/twit right now, you'll be able to see this for 2 weeks. This is a special double. Let me turn that down. Wow, there's a big bear in there. That's kind of cool. I'm sorry, I get distracted every time. Hulu Plus. You get 2 weeks as a special double-length trial of Hulu Plus just in time for the holidays. So if you've got family and friends coming over for the holidays, you've got something they can watch. Everybody. Great kids, ad-free kids content. A collection of classic movies, too. HuluPlus.com. That's a special address. HuluPlus.com/twit for your two-week free trial. See, now I'm going to end up watching this. I shouldn't start these now. I got a show to do. No time. We're talking about bandwidth, and, you know, I think people look at these charts from Netflix. They do this all the time. This is the November chart. Prime time, right, performance rankings. And this is their U.S. ISP average. And they look at the numbers. You know, Cablevision average in prime time, 2.75 megabits per second. But wait a minute, they're selling me 50 megabits. And when I go to speed test, I get 50 down. Yeah, but that's the problem. Speed test tests burst mode. It only tests for a few seconds. And the key is prime time. When everybody else is watching Netflix, what are you getting? Because Netflix is now 40% of all internet traffic. Now, I bet you that's going down because there's other ways to watch video. But you got to figure 80% of prime time, 80% of all internet traffic, maybe more, is people watching streaming video. Very demanding. Very. It's like a constant download the whole time you're watching that movie. Lots of data. And if you've ever experienced buffering on a fast network or downgrading quality on a fast network, you're seeing what Netflix is telling you here, which is networks promise a lot. They are not consistent at that level. That's a hard thing to get, especially when you're in a busy time of day, in a busy neighborhood, you know, all your neighbors. So if you've noticed, I bet you have, I have certainly, if you've noticed that bandwidth is not as good as it used to be in the prime time, that's why. That's why. 8888 Ask Leo. Brian's in New York City. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's everything going today,
Leo?
It's
great. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, slushy New York City.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You had snow last night, and then it just turned to rain. That's horrible.
Yeah, rain. It's just all sorts of messy. So it's a good time to turn into the Leo Laporte show,
yeah,
right?
Just stay inside. Have a cup of hot cocoa. Yep.
Exactly. Hey, and maybe kick back, watch a movie or something like that.
Yeah, watch Netflix.
Yeah, look up to some streaming, pop in a
Blu-ray. Who's you? Are you with Optimum? Or are you with Cablevision?
Yeah, you know what? We actually, I live in a building, and you know, most of the buildings in New York City, right?
They have their own service, yeah.
They don't have their own service, but, you know, like Verizon has wired it up for Fios,
right,
and then
right,
there's Time Warner is actually probably the largest provider.
Yeah.
And then you do have sort of a more of a regional provider based out of Pennsylvania who offers service, which is kind of what I use, called RCN.
RCN, so yeah.
Yeah, they're a little bit less expensive. It probably takes you 10 minutes on customer service, whereas the other guys would answer for after 5 minutes.
You know, I didn't even mention customer service. That's a big part of it, too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, the nice thing about RCN is they actually offer, believe it or not, instead of those old kind of Motorola boxes that Verizon offers, they offer the TiVo box.
Oh, that's really a good reason.
Yeah, and I have like a TiVo Premier Quad.
I'm jealous now.
Yeah, so it's like, so honestly, and to be honest with you, you know, that user interface is, what would you say, 10 times better than what you can get from Verizon.
Those junky cable boxes all these companies offer, I don't know how they get away with it. TiVo's so much better. Why don't they just all do a deal with TiVo?
Well, I think it probably costs the cable provider more.
Oh, yeah, that. You know, the news this week is that Time Warner, it may be sold to Charter. Charter's just put in a bid for Time Warner cable, so...
No, so yes, even less competition. Wow.
Yeah, even less competition. Isn't that great?
Yeah, fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, exactly. So,
what can I do for you, Brian?
Yeah. So, you know, I was actually thinking about maybe getting a second TV. You know, I live in like an apartment in the city, and, you know, I have the last TV I bought was prompted by, you know, Pioneer deciding in 2009 that it was no longer going to manufacture those ninth generation Kuro panels. So I said, oh, now's the time to go ahead and buy one.
Smart
because
man.
I may not be able to get one.
Smart man.
And, you know, I've been very happy with it for, yeah, like, critical viewing.
I did exactly the same thing, Brian. I bought a Kuro because that was the end of the line on those. Yep.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, for movies and the black levels, it's fantastic. You know, also, and, you know, in terms of the LED panels, I'm just not all that happy with the motion blur or the soap opera.
I still think plasma is the best. We're in the minority, and that's one of the reasons all the companies who make plasmas are bowing out of plasma.
Well, that's my concern. That's exactly it, Leo. Here it is. I want to go ahead. I wasn't necessarily looking to add another television to the mix, right? More, you know, higher cable fees. They ding you for another box or whatever. But now it is. Panasonic is deciding they're out of the business.
I tell you, you know, I was watching the Niners game this morning before I came into work, and we have several different TVs, a Samsung, an LG, and a Panasonic. And every time I go over and look at that Panasonic, I go, that is the best-looking TV ever.
Should I basically go out now?
They're very affordable. The ST60, CNET said it's the best TV we've ever seen. And it's right now, you know, as low as $1,400.
Right. So if I want something that more compared to that Kuro Elite, I would look at like maybe a ZT or a VT, which I think you actually have a VT60.
I have a VT, yep. But everybody agrees that the ST60 is a great choice.
Now, how do you compare it to like your OLED that you just picked up?
You know a little more about me than you admit.
Well, you know,
yeah, I spent $9,000of my hard-earned money on what Samsung says is the next generation of television. It's called an OLED. It's gorgeous. Probably agree with Consumer Reports. They said it's the best TV they've ever tested, but it's not eight times better.
In other words, it doesn't justify the cost differential that you have to pay.
No, and the software is a little funky. There's a little weird stuff that happens once in a while. I'm sure they'll update the firmware. But at this point, the ST60 is the way to go. This is an amazing product.
Right. But, I mean, isn't it kind of like counterintuitive that what's good goes away? In terms of these panels.
Yeah, because, welcome to technology. I see this all the time, that the best product is not always the winner. It's the product that's best marketed. In this case, it's the product that looks best on the showroom floor. Because LCDs are so bright, people go into the store and they look at them and they go, wow, that really just pops. And the plasma looks kind of dim and gray. And they go, I want to be excited by my television set. When you get it home and you calibrate it properly, I got to tell you, I sit down in front of my VT60 and it's been calibrated. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, calibrated it professionally, and it just is gorgeous. It's how I watch movies, how I watch football games. There's nothing better. The OLED, which is also he also calibrated, is marginally better. The blacks are really pitch black. But it's not so much so that I would, you know, I have the choice, and I often end up going into the living room where I keep the OLED. I keep the OLED away from the smaller fingers, so I keep it locked up in my study.
You know, in the city here, you can imagine there's a lot of folks who you can pick up some of the old Pioneer panels, like I used or whatever. So I was
thinking
about
those are great. Yeah, those are great. I think the new Panasonic's better than the Kuro.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So maybe,
highly recommend it. The Vieiras have excellent smart TV software as well. Right. Netflix, you know, Amazon streaming. I would say that, you know, I think there's no question this ST60. Everybody seems to agree is the best TV ever. And unless you have $9,000 burning a hole in your pocket, that's what I'd get.
Fantastic. Hey, Leo, thanks so much. I'm going to get off the phone.
You're
with
welcome.
Run over
to Abe's of Maine and pick one.
Run over to my big box retailer, look at it, and then order it online.
Yeah. Oh, you're bad. You're showrooming, huh? All right. Hey, good, Brian. I appreciate it. Thanks. Take care.
Have a great day. Take care, bye.
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons I got the OLED is because I wanted to see what the future was going to look like. And I think that we will be buying OLED screens in a few years. There's a lot of advantages that the organic light-emitting diode has over plasma. It's at altitude, for instance, it's better. But you just, you know, the price is just right now, because you're buying the something, you know, very, very new, you're overpaying. I'm overpaying. The ST60 is gorgeous. Gorgeous. Actually, the truth is, almost any big flat screen TV these days is light years ahead of anything we've had in the past. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. That's the number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. You want to run out and buy a television set? I'll help you spend your money. 888-827-5536. Don is in Culver City, California. Hey, Don, Leo Laporte.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. I need your help in lifting the fog for me here.
All right.
I have used what was Homestead is now Intuit to build websites for myself. Things are, you know, kind of goofing around with some different things over the years.
I used to love that program, yeah.
It was pretty cool. When it first opened up, it was easy and new, and it was a fun thing to play with. And I want to do a website that's a little bit more serious this time, and I'm looking towards WordPress, and that led me to looking at template themes that were available by third parties.
Yeah.
And I've found something I think I like.
Good.
And the haze that I'm not sure is, not that any of it's expensive, the themes aren't expensive, but when you license that and go to use it, am I going to be able to customize it to what I want? I mean, is it
yes. No, depending on how sophisticated you are. So is it WordPress.com, or are you going to do a hosted WordPress, your own hosted WordPress?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do once I build the site.
So there's two ways to go with WordPress. Yeah, WordPress will do the hosting for you, WordPress.com, but there's less flexibility there. Then if you run your own server, you install WordPress on that, use a free download from WordPress.org, and then you install it and you run it, and now you can put any template on it you want. But you're going to have to learn a number of skills, and not the least of which is administering your own web server. Certainly that's how I did it. But I did it that way because I needed to, you know, years ago, needed to learn how all this stuff worked. Most templates, and this really varies with templates, most templates are just a collection of CSS files, maybe a little bit of JavaScript bundled together, and you can go in and you can customize the heck out of them if you know what you're doing. It's easy to break them, too. If doing all this is for somebody who wants to learn the technology, if you are just interested in having a great site and you don't want to learn how web hosting works, I probably wouldn't go this way.
Okay.
It just depends. What, you know, are you more focused on the content of the site, or more interested in just how websites work?
No, the content of the site. Okay. It's key. I want to use it as an income generator for advertising. Plus, it's kind of a passion of mine. It's a culinary industry.
Oh, neat. Things
restaurateurs and things like that.
Unless you're really tied to that particular template. I mean, it's a lot of work. You know, you install WordPress, and then you're responsible for kind of keeping it up to date at all times, which is fairly frequent updates. You're going to have to learn how to use SSH and SFTP and a bunch of protocols that you wouldn't normally need to do. I like doing it because I'm a geek, but I think most people should probably go with a solution that is more comprehensive. Since you're moving from Homestead, which was a comprehensive solution, I would look at Squarespace.com. They're a sponsor, I should mention, but they're the disclaimer. But what they do at all, you don't have to maintain the software or anything like that. They have templates you can customize easily. If you are sophisticated enough to do CSS and JavaScript, you can do more there as well.
Okay.
WordPress.com is similar, but may not give you all the features of your own hosted WordPress site. Google has its own Blogspot, Blogger.com. All of these will be a lot easier, frankly, than if you want to do it yourself. I think rolling it yourself is a lot of work.
Well, okay, I'm not willing to. I'll give up some of the features or some of the...
Do me a favor. Look at Squarespace. They have a two-week free trial. You just go there. You set it up. You can very quickly see what it can do and see if you could find something that you like.
Okay.
And they do support commerce. They support all the other features, and they're very affordable. I just think that unless you want to become a web whiz, it's better to let somebody else do all that hard work. I am still using WordPress at myleoville.com, but boy, it's a constant, but that's my job, right? I need to know how to administer a website, how to do CSS and JavaScript. I need to know all that stuff. That's what I do. If you do culinary stuff, then really you should focus on the culinary stuff. Hey, coming up, we're going to go to Honolulu. And Alan has, we're going to do this in secret, is looking for a holiday gift for his wife. And he wants to know about the Lumia. Before we talk about that, though, I should talk about backup. Anybody who's running a website, who's running a business, anybody who's got stuff on their hard drives they can't afford to lose should know about Carbonite.com, the best online backup ever. Affordable. There are no limits to the amount of data you can back up. By the way, Carbonite has eliminated any caps of any kind now. You can do as much as you want. It's really kind of amazing. They just get better and better and better. I want you to visit Carbonite.com. You can try it free for 2 weeks. You don't need to give them a credit card. Just my name, Leo. Mac or PC, $59.99 a year for everything on that computer, no matter how much you have. No matter how much you have. That's amazing. They have small businesses, versions for external servers. Visit Carbonite.com. You can find out about all of their different solutions. I'm just a huge fan of Carbonite. Online backup done right. Try it free for 2 weeks. If you do that, you'll get 2 months free with purchase. Carbonite. Carbonite.com. Find out what Carbonite can do for you free right now. Use my name, Leo, for the best deal. Let's see. We just did Culver City. Let's go to Honolulu. Alan on the line. Hi, Alan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Well, aloha, Leo. And aloha. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful in Hawaii. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Excellent. You know, I usually watch your video podcast, but I'm obviously on the phone, so I'm not watching it this morning.
That's okay. Listening is good, too.
So here's kind of a funny story. I've been a longtime AT&T wireless business customer and for my phone and my wife's phone, and I'm about 9-10 months shy of my 2-year anniversary. I want to get her a new phone.
Yay.
So I called them, and I said, you know, I've been with you like 9 years, and I know I have like a year left, but is there anything you guys can do? And they're like, nope, sorry, can't.
Oh, my iota.
Okay, so anyway, so I figured, well, you know, I asked them, I got kind of really upset, and I said, what's my early termination fee? And they said, they looked up, said, $100. I said, who cares about that, right?
So yeah, see ya.
So I looked at T-Mobile, and I realized that I could get an all-you-can-eat plan with T-Mobile, and I'm going to save a ton of money.
Yeah.
So I think I'll get my wife the new phone. And she really loves the fact of having some 41-megapixel
Lumia 1020. That's what you're looking at, huh?
Right. But then I started looking around, and there's also the Lumia 1520, which is, I guess, it's only like a 21-megapixel.
Oh, only 21. Also a beautiful phone.
I know.
Yeah.
But then when I looked at T-Mobile, they don't offer the Lumia phone. I'm wondering, is that if I buy it?
Yes. So the way T-Mobile works, you can use any unlocked GSM phone with T-Mobile. You just bring it into T-Mobile, and this is what I do, by the way. You bring it into T-Mobile. It's got to be unlocked. It can't be from another carrier.
Well, there's my next question. Now, I'm currently using a Galaxy S3 from AT&T. Now, if I go over there, I won't be able to use my phone because it's locked.
Ah,
right?
But because you're in good standing and you bought that more than 6 months ago, you can go online with AT&T and have them unlock that Galaxy S3. Once you've done that, you can move to T-Mobile.
Ah, okay. So my question to you, going back to the Lumia 1020, is the 1020 the way to go, or is it something like the 1520 the way?
You'll never use 41 megapixels. Even the 1020, when most of the time when you take a picture with it, it doesn't use all 41 megapixels. That's a little misleading. I think the 1520 is an excellent choice. Now, you're comfortable with Windows Phone. Remember, this is not iPhone or Android. It's Windows Phone.
She's currently using a Windows phone.
Perfect.
And loves it. But by the way, she has a Windows 8 computer and hates it.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Because it's the same UI. I mean, this is Microsoft's thinking. Let's make it all the same across the board.
In fact, I was listening to you last week, and I told her, I text messaged her. I was out and about. I said, go look at Classic Shell. And I think the other one was Start 8. And I said, look at these. Go get them.
Yeah.
That's what Leo said to get.
Yeah, and then it will be very much like a Windows 7 machine.
Exactly. So I wasn't aware that the 1020 really doesn't take a 41-megapixel picture.
What happens is it downsamples it in most cases. You can get a 41-megapixel picture out of it, but most of the time it downsamples it. And that's good because it uses those extra pixels to give you more crispness or, it's a better looking image as a result. So, but I think the 1520 is a very, very, very good choice. Now, if you buy it, you want to make sure that it will work with T-Mobile, that it'll use the frequencies that T-Mobile supports. And I'm not sure if it does. You're going to have to do some research when you buy it. Get it unlocked, of course, so that you can put a T-Mobile SIM in it. Easy enough to use a Galaxy S3. That will work. So do check before you buy, but that's a great way to go. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, home theater, and all that jazz. Our digital photographer, Chris Marquardt, will join us at 33 and a third after the hour. He's going to talk about great digital cameras for gift giving. There's a lot of good stuff out there. It's a little confusing, frankly. You know, this is actually one thing that I think is happening in technology. Stuff is just getting better and better. We saw this with the TVs. We were talking about the TVs. We saw this also last hour with internet. It used to be, you could say, for instance, in smartphones, well, there's one. Everyone should get an iPhone. End of sentence. But as time goes by, people get better. They mature. Products mature. And I think really now there are a great many great smartphones, great many televisions. There are a great many computers. There are a great many cameras, all of which would be perfectly you'd be happy with. They're very, very good. So it gets harder and harder to say, you know, just get this one. There's a wonderful site that I love and I recommend called the Wire Cutter. It's wirecutter.com. I'm sorry, thewirecutter.com. It was started by Brian Lamb, who worked for years at Gizmodo. And his idea is, you know, when you read reviews on stuff, it doesn't help cut through. What you want is just what's the best. And so we're just going to tell you what the best is. But even they're having a hard time. Now, I look in TVs, they have the best TV, but then they have the best small TV and the best $500 TV. It's hard to say, this is just the best, this is the one, just get it. TV is one of the few areas where you can really say, and everybody seems to be in agreement, that the Panasonic ST60 is the best TV. Really looks good and is very affordable for a big screen TV. But it's harder with smartphones. It's harder to say. There really is a lot of variation. It's harder with computers, harder with cameras. We'll see what Chris has to offer. I probably should just, you know, when you call me up, I should just say, I'll get this. But I'm trying to be fair and balanced. Not easy, believe me. Paul in Lake Forest, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi.
Hi. When I was listening before the show.
Yeah.
And I think I know what Google wants with those robots.
Oh, yeah. What are those? Those scary looking robots. What do they want to do?
Now they're going to stick them on the Amazon drones.
You're actually not far off. Google has started to talk about, instant delivery as well, just like Amazon. They would do it for other companies, not because Google doesn't sell much direct. But, you might be right. Take the drones out. Jeez, that's just what we need. Warfare between the mail order companies on the streets.
Yeah, RoboCop is coming true.
Look, if you watch the video of that that cheetah, that running computer, it's gas powered. You will be. That's a little terrifying.
I wouldn't want to see that coming down the street.
No. So what can I do for you?
Well, I just got a nice email from my cable company. It seems a little ironic given all the stuff we're talking about bandwidth today, but yeah. They're saying congratulations, you now have 50 megabits per second.
Ah.
The bad news is, of course, you need a new modem.
Ah.
So they're perfectly happy to rent me one, right. But
what they're probably who's the cable company?
Cox.
What they're probably doing is moving to the latest standard for cable modems, which is called DOCSIS, DOCIS 3. And DOCSIS 3 modems are considerably faster. So you have an old one. Now, I bought mine, and I think it's, you know, what do they want for a monthly rental? $7?
At least, depending on, because they'll rent me one with built-in Wi-Fi, and it's like, you know, 10 or like 14 or something
Forget
like
it.
That.
Forget yeah. it. If you think you're going to have this for a long time, I bought mine. I got an Aris, A-R-R-I-S cable modem. You should ask Cox what's compatible. They have a list, I'm sure. Yeah. So get one that's compatible. Make sure it is DOCSIS 3. I think there's several advantages to doing that, besides saving money. And you probably, you could do the math. You'll probably in a year pay for the modem.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
I've actually done some looking. So
yeah.
There's a couple that I get like Best Buy or Amazon. They're both like the Motorola's.
Yep.
And one says it's 160 megabytes per second, which is, you know, obviously not going to be delivered. But then they have another one that says it's like 340.
All you really care about is it DOCSIS 3?
Yeah, so it doesn't really make a difference. If the other one says it's faster, it's not going to help.
No, because your cable company has some say in that, and they're not going to give you that. They're happy with 50. I'm not sure why one is rated for a higher speed. Maybe it has more capability. I'm not sure. I would not get one with Wi-Fi built in. I would get a separate cable modem and a separate Wi-Fi router. It makes it easier to troubleshoot. It makes it easier to upgrade. It's unlikely you're going to upgrade your cable modem for a while, so, but you may upgrade wireless more often.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Motorola bought Aris, but or rather vice versa. Aris bought Motorola. So ARRIS, the modem I bought, those also the Motorola modems. Chat room is saying they like the SB6141.
Yeah.
And that's probably the one you were looking at. There aren't that many choices. It's a Motorola surfboard. You can get it on Amazon for $80.
Yep, that's the one I was looking at.
Yep. Good choice. You don't need Wi-Fi in it. You don't want Wi-Fi in it because it's just better to separate that out. I think that's the way to go. And, you know, if you simple to do the math. You know, it's $80 for that. So you'll pay for that in less than a year.
Easily.
And the Wi-Fi router, you want to be able to upgrade that. You want to be able to, also rebooting it. Sometimes you need to reboot the modem or reboot the router. It feels to me like you probably want to get those separate.
Right. And I've already got a perfectly good router. And
yeah, there you go. You're set. Yeah, so I do recommend it. The Motorola surfboard's very good.
Good. So earlier, a couple weeks ago, you were helping me with my dad's DSL. Yeah, he didn't have a router.
What ended up happening? Yeah, I recommended he get a router. What did you do?
They, unbeknownst to me, they were in the process of upgrading to UVerse, who just sort of kind of threw one in.
Yeah. Yeah, AT&T does that. In fact, you have to use theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're putting TV and internet on a DSL line, so you have to use their special box.
So I was all, you need to get a router or something. And they
I already got one.
Never mind.
Never mind, Dad. I called Leah for no reason. Hey, you're a good son nevertheless, Paul. You going to go back and see him for the holidays?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
We have our traditional dinner.
Have a wonderful dinner. What do you have for your Christmas dinner?
Well, we go to a restaurant. We've been going to the same restaurant for Christmas Eve.
Oh, how fun.
And it's like English style. They have like Dickensian carolers.
Oh, I love that. And you prime rib and Yorkshire pudding. And
all that, yep.
Horseradish sauce.
Absolutely.
Where is that restaurant?
It's in Fullerton, California. It's called the Summit House.
Oh, don't tell anybody.
you can't get a reservation.
Oh, it's full. All right. Anymore. Yeah, I want to make sure you get in. All right, next year.
You can't get in anymore.
I'll meet you at the Summit House. That sounds great. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, we'll make room at the table for you.
Deal. I could do with some prime rib right about now. Thanks, Paul. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Take care. Aaron B., my friend in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm great. Happy holidays, Aaron.
Happy holidays to you. I'm actually currently in line at the Summit House. Can't wait for my prime rib. I'm looking forward to it.
No, you are not, Aaron. You're in Phoenix.
I'm totally yanking your chain. I cannot believe you caught that.
I'm not paying attention. I go, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. How many hours is into it? You're already sleeping. It's good. I understand. You got nothing else going on. You have Friday's off now.
Very
you're not
relaxing.
Awake. It's
very
okay. Relaxing. You're relaxed.
Yeah, I'm very relaxed. Somebody said I look haggard. I'm just old. That's all.
Yeah, I know. I get that, too. No, when it's worse is when, you know, you look really good. No, shut up.
You don't look like you're dead anymore.
Yeah, you don't look that bad. Well, thank you so much.
What can I do for you, Aaron?
Okay, very quickly.
Yeah.
So here's...
hang on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You know, if you're going to buy a phone, can I suggest you go to the Gazelle site on eBay? That's probably the best way to get a phone. Our show actually is brought to you today by a Gazelle. Gazelle is a great way to sell your used gadgets. And what they do, they have a great Gazelle store. And then you know you're going to get something of quality. Gazelle is a great company for this. GAZELLE.com. Go there right now and you'll get a best price possible on your old iPhone so you can get the new one. Or on your own old Samsung or LG or Motorola or Nokia. Samsung, BlackBerry, yeah, they buy BlackBerries, they buy HTCs. You can get an iPad, get rid of your old iPad. Let's say you have the fourth generation iPad, AT&T, 64 gig, $255. Now you can get that new iPad, maybe get the iPad Air. What you got to do is go to gazelle.com. All of these quotes are good for 30 days. That means... you can go there even before you decide to buy and just get the quote. I would do that because the truth is these prices are not going up anywhere. You ready to get the iPhone? My daughter wants an iPhone 5C. She's got an iPhone 5. She wants the color. $205. Now I can get her the iPhone 5C. Now, here's what I would suggest. Do everything. You got a ton of stuff, I bet you, in drawers and closets. And then when you pull the trigger, Gazelle will pay the postage. They'll send you a box. You throw it all in that box. They'll turn it around, send you a check, give you a PayPal credit, or an Amazon gift card. They'll even bump the value of that 5%. It's no wonder Gazelle's paid more than $100 million out to over 700,000 customers. Get that quote now. They're good for 30 days. Gives you time to transfer your data, set up your new device, or even just decide whether you want to get that new Mac Pro or not. Gazelle.com, the best way to sell your old stuff so you can get the new stuff. You get paid fast there. By the way, if you forget to wipe the data, their data experts will do that for you. They're good about that. GAZELLE.com. Gazelle. Leo. Oh, yeah, that's me. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. We were talking to Aaron B. in Phoenix before we had to rudely interrupt. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, sir. Yeah, the thing is, it'd be a long one, so we might come up to a commercial, so I'd give you a chance to...
Well, don't make it any longer. Get right to the question.
I'm getting right to the thing. So here, and it's odd. So what's happening is this. It started happening a couple of weeks ago on every computer in the house. We have two desktops, one laptop, and occasionally, randomly, whenever we pull up Google as a search engine, we each one of us separately get this site, which is a red sort of background, and it says, this is probably not the site you were looking for. Your attempt to reach Google.com,
right.
But instead you actually reached a server identifying itself as, this changes usually, but usually it's Cloudflare.com.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And now it says...
That's your internet service provider doing that.
I had a feeling it was. Do you think that by changing to OpenDNS that might solve that?
Yes, it would go away, but you get something else instead. So who's your internet service provider? Just out of curiosity.
Cox.
So Cloudflare is a content delivery network. Google may be using that. The warning is not inappropriate. And it may also be some other software. Are you running any other security software?
Nothing that doesn't come with Windows.
This is and you're using Internet Explorer.
No, I'm using Chrome.
Chrome. I mean, this is what browsers do if the certificate that they're looking for doesn't match the website, or rather, vice versa, if the website they're looking for doesn't match the certificate they're getting. It could be your internet service provider, or it could be the browser doing this. If there is a way, if it asks you, do you want me to notify you about this in the future, I just say no. But I would try a different DNS to see if that fixes it. That'll let you know. So OpenDNS does this too. If you mistype a URL, OpenDNS will pull up a search page. In fact, this is how they make money. And some complain about this. This is not how the internet's supposed to work. If you mistype a page, if you enter in a page that does not exist, what you're supposed to get is this page does not exist, of what they call a 404. So type in, you know, just kind of a random bunch of characters and letters and hit return and see what you get. What you should get is, you know, I can't find this server or something like this. In my case, I'm using Safari. It says Safari can't find the server. If you get something else, that's your internet service provider, or if you're using OpenDNS, OpenDNS replacing that with a search listing saying, oh, you typed this, but maybe you meant that. That is not an abnormal behavior, but it's also not considered by many to be the right solution. You know, it breaks some things to report a solution. So I would try, you could try 8.8.8.8. That's Google. That's their DNS server. They allow you to use that. You can use OpenDNS, which I like. But OpenDNS will give you that weird result where you get a search page instead. That's how they make money. They charge for those results, not you, an advertiser. It's interesting that you're getting Cloudflare. Cloudflare is a company that specializes in protecting people against attacks. They provide a lot of extra. They're a content distribution network. I guess you could use them for just giving yourself more bandwidth, but I think what a lot of people use it for is preventing or taking care of a distributed denial of service or a DDoS attack when a lot of machines are attacking their website. Cloudflare turns on more bandwidth and then everything works fine. It's odd that I don't know if Google uses Cloudflare. That's kind of interesting, Aaron. I'll have to look into that. I'm not sure why you're getting that. Try changing the DNS. It does happen on all your computers. Make sure you're typing the URL correctly. I presume because you said it search, it's google.com. I don't know. That's an interesting result. I know you're in the chat room. I'm sure we'll have some thoughts about that in the chat room. Raymond, Highland, Indiana. I'm sorry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Raymond.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. In the cold. I wish I was in California,
though. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When we say cold here, it's like 58 degrees. Ooh.
Yeah, I like those temperatures.
You won't see 58 for a few months.
I know. I was snow blowing, which I'm glad I have a blower. But...
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I don't miss that. And yet I do miss, you know, snow's pretty. I just don't miss, I don't miss removing it. Yeah, to look at, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I met you a long time ago in Vegas. I haven't been in Vegas for a long time, but I'm glad I was able to reach you today.
Well, it's nice to meet you. Yeah, Vegas, you're talking about the Consumer Electronics Show. We go out there every January, look at all the new stuff.
Yeah, I kind of miss it. I don't have time to do it anymore, though.
No, and it's not as important as it used to be. I'm more and more reluctant to go out there. It's now mostly TVs. I mean, that's the most interesting. It's TVs and iPod and iPhone accessories. It's a very strange show. What can I do for you?
Okay, so I did like Sarah to cut the cable about over a year ago.
Good man.
And which is great. I'm saving money.
Yeah.
So I used to have DirecTV. And in the basement of my man cave, I have the big TV. But the reception is not good. I don't get all the channels.
So you, instead of using a cable company or DirecTV, you're just using an antenna to try to get the local broadcast channels.
Correct. A digital.
And in Highland, are you near a big city? Are you near Indianapolis or?
I'm close to Chicago.
Chicago, okay.
Illinois.
So are you close enough to get decent reception from Chicago? That's the question.
I do on my third level floor.
It's the basement that doesn't.
Yes.
Is it the same? Are you using rabbit ears in the basement? Or using a house antenna?
It's not a house antenna. It's a square antenna, not rabbit.
But it's in the basement.
Correct.
Ah, yeah, of course. Yeah, but you know, it's not. It's it's in the basement. So higher is better.
But there's a window.
Well, yeah, but it's still a window at the ground floor, at ground level.
That's true.
Yeah, Best thing to do, in fact, would be to get an external antenna, put it on the roof, and then wire through the house. You'd get much better reception.
Yeah, I was trying to eliminate costs on that.
Actually, yeah, I don't blame you. I think the real issue is, yeah, you're close to the ground. Being close to the ground is not good for an antenna. If you're a ham, you put your antenna as high as you can.
That's true.
Right? So it's the same issue.
Is any way I can get a converter to use the DirecTV dish?
No, that dish is not a broadcast frequency. It's just for that satellite. So, but what I would suggest, go to AntennaWeb. I've talked about this before, AntennaWeb.org. This was created by the folks who do CES, actually, the Consumer Electronics Association. It was created when we made this move to digital. And everybody had to go from their analog rabbit ears to that square box you have. But they have other information there about antennas and so forth. It's a great site. Another one, TV Fool, is for cord cutters. TVFool.com. Really good site. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. He's here. Chris Marquardt.
Hello.
Our photo guy. Hello, Chris. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too.
This is a tough assignment. I said last week to Chris, I said, Chris, we should have a camera buying guide.
Innocently, he said that, and I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And I just realized how complicated the market is right
easy.
Now.
What's going on in the market?
if anyone used to ask, well, people always ask me, what camera should I get? And if anyone did ask me in 4 years ago, it was simple and clear-cut, right? There were the compacts, the small ones, there were the bridge cameras.
Yeah.
And then there were the DSLRs,
right.
The serious professional ones, and nothing really in between. And in the last couple of years, the lines have so massively blurred. It's really amazing with the compact system cameras coming up, or the so-called mirrorless system cameras. They come under 10 different names, but let's stick with mirrorless for now. So mirrorless makes most sense. And those are small cameras, or relatively small cameras, with interchangeable lenses, but the reason they can be small is because they don't have this huge big mirror box in the middle that kind of makes the DSLRs what they are.
And why do we want interchangeable lenses?
Well, interchangeable lenses make the cameras way more versatile. If you have one lens that covers everything from macro to the biggest telephoto range, there's always some, you always lose a bit of quality. And being able to interchange lenses and have specialized lenses, a fisheye lens or a really good telephoto lens or a really good wide-angle lens, just helps you get more quality and work in a more specialized way.
So if you're buying a camera for somebody who I just want to get snapshots, I just want to get pictures of the kids and stuff, a point-and-shoot's fine. But if this person is saying, I want to get serious about my photography, now you're talking interchangeable lenses, right?
I would think so. Yeah, that's kind of the splitting point. So my mom still uses a small compact camera, and she's perfectly happy with it, and it does pretty much everything for her. But as soon as you start getting more serious, that's when you're starting to look into the mirrorless segments, and that's pretty much the new segment that has come up over the last few years. And then above those, we have small DSLRs. That's the ones with the smaller sensor, the APS-C size sensors. And then we have the bigger DSLRs, the full frame ones, and a few odd kind of things in between. So let's see. What changes when you go up the ladder? Well, from the ladder. First of all, so the sensor sizes. That's one of the measures that you can look at.
That's a measure of quality of the image, right? Bigger sensor is better.
It typically is, and typically you would have bigger DSLRs with bigger full-frame sensors that have way better image quality, or it's kind of narrowing because they have lots of good noise reduction algorithms in the smaller ones. So the sensor size is not anymore that much of a differentiator, and if we look at the new Sony models, the A7 models with full-frame that are relatively compact, it's actually interesting how this kind of... Again, they're blurring the lines. The other thing, when you go further up the line, is you get more rugged cameras. The more professional models have different bodies made of magnesium instead of plastic. But even there, the lines get blurred. The Nikon AW1, for example, is a interchangeable lens camera, a compact interchangeable lens camera that is waterproof up to, I think, 49 feet. without a housing, without a special waterproof housing.
Cool?
So we're looking at even there, they're blurring the lines.
I bought an Olympus rugged camera, the TG2. Same thing. Yes. Great. And it's a point and shoot with a relatively small sensor, but I was amazed how good the images I was able to get. And I could do it in the water.
The interesting thing about the Nikon AW1 is it's an interchangeable lens camera, but that is still waterproof. So you can swap lenses, which is a game changer. If you have ever if you've ever talked to divers who used the old Nikonos, Nikon was a bit famous for that underwater camera, but they're kind of bringing that back a bit. The other differentiating factor that used to be there was the shutter speed. You would have like shorter shutter speeds with bigger cameras. And that is important if you go into flash photography and these things. Now the small, tiny Panasonic GM1 has a 16,000th of a second. That is unheard of in that category. The Sony A7s have an 8,000th of a second. So even there, we're blurring the lines. Focusing speed used to be like super fast focusing used to be the thing that DSLRs would do, and the compacts wouldn't. But that is changing. If you look at the phase detection technology that's making its way into the compact cameras, Olympus OMD EM5, for example, is one that is known for very fast focusing using just contrast detection. So again, faster focusing speed. We're getting there with the smaller cameras. Another thing that the bigger cameras, the bigger DSLRs used to have was that they used to have to differentiate themselves on the smaller ones was quicker access to different things. You had lots of more buttons and dials and change the ISO, so you don't have to go into a menu. You just press a button and turn a dial and you're there. That is being blurred because Sony A7, again, they have like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 customizable buttons on the camera. So you can pretty much set it up the way you need it. So
you haven't helped me at all. I was mentioning this at the top of the hour, though. It's just harder because there's so much good stuff that it's hard to say, this is the best, this is the best, and this is the best. They're just, you're not going to go too far wrong. That's the other side of it.
That's the other side. If you are out shopping for a camera right now, that's what I want to try to do here. Give you a kind of an idea where the different areas lie, what kind of different categories are there. We'll talk about a few models that stick out because they have something that's interesting in terms of technology or features. And I might be able to give you a bit of a price range there. So,
is there a place you go to read reviews that you prefer?
If you're really geeky, if you want to go by the tech, DP Review is dpreview.com is still
site.
One of the go-to sites.
Yeah.
But I try to stay away from the forums they have because, you know, discussing about the amount of megapixels, it's not always good.
It becomes a religious war, too. It's like, my camera's the best camera. No, my camera's the best camera.
Just go in there and drop a bomb by saying what is better, Nikon or Canon, and you'll start a holy war in there. So yeah, I try to stay away from those, but in general, you at least get some very good tests that might give you information about how the noise profiles are of the camera. Even though most modern cameras are really good.
All right, but I'm gonna put you on the spot. Best point. Let's just go through the categories. Best point and shoot. What do you recommend?
Well, at this point, with the small point shoots, I would probably go for something from the Panasonic line. I've used those. I haven't used all models, so
but they're good. I agree.
For sure, but the Panasonic ones are really good.
Yep.
The LX, what is the current one? LX5, for example.
Oh, I love those. Are the Lumixes, and they're just really
good.
Great.
Series, very
a little
good
pricey,
series.
Perhaps. I mean, you can go less if you go with the Canon ELF, the power shots, stuff like that. But I agree, the Panasonic Lumixes are amazing.
Yes.
Now, in the mirrorless, is there...
this is a huge segment.
Yeah.
The manufacturers that are in there are Fuji, Sony, Samsung, Nikon, Pentax, Ricoh, Canon. I have a huge list here. So
I'm a fan of Micro Four Thirds, MFT, because there's so... You can get... It's a lens that's compatible with everybody.
You know,
so you can get your lens from anybody.
And that's the good thing about Micro Four Thirds. If you go into the small interchangeable lens segment, every manufacturer has their own system. That's why they're also called system cameras, and they will lock you in. So if you get a Samsung NX something, you will have to buy their lenses.
Yep.
If you get a Pentax Q series, you're locked into that. If you get a Sony NEX Sony has
great
their
cameras,
own mounts,
but you have to use those E-series
all great
lenses.
Cameras,
and,
yeah.
And that can limit you.
Can limit you. The Micro Four Thirds have a bit of a smaller sensor than most of those interchangeable
Hang
cameras.
On. We got to take a break. We're not done, though. We're going to keep Chris Marquardt around, and we're going to talk more. What cameras for the holidays? I'm going to tell you my favorite Micro Four Thirds when we come back. You stay here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. We'll go back to the phones in a second, but Chris Marquardt's still here, our photo guy. And we've really got to give you some recommendations for cameras to buy. So for point and shoot, we did recommend the Panasonic Lumix series. Very nice cameras. I think the LX7, I think, is the current one, and it's just really nice. Now, I'm going to move you up a little bit to get some interchangeable lens cameras. And see
the interchangeable lens cameras, and I will include the Micro Four Thirds in there. Well, you can't really go wrong with a Sony Nex. There are different models starting at, I think, $400. Samsung has an interesting series, the Samsung Galaxy cameras that have like a Galaxy phone built in.
Do
almost.
You like those?
Well, I've never really played with them, but if you are an Android fan, that might be a good choice for you because
you know,
it has
one
all the connectivity,
that,
all the networking and everything
right.
built in.
I mean, one thing that really is changing is that I guess you'd call it computational photography, that capturing the image through the lens is just the beginning. And these cameras are more and more computational. They're doing more stuff in software than ever before.
There's a lot happening there. If you are a diver, again, the Nikon AW1, rugged, waterproof to 49 feet without a special housing, which okay. is amazing. You can still interchange the lenses. Pentax in their new K01 with an APS-C sensor, they have an interesting feature
nice
called
camera.
Pentax Sensor Shift. So what they do is they have a very... very big range that the sensor can move in to stabilize. And apparently you can also use this to do shift photography. So instead of a tilt shift lens, you can use a shifted sensor.
Ah.
Which does the same thing. That's good for architectural photography. So those are the ones that I would recommend.
High end. For the pro, the semi-pro, the pro, the somebody wants to get very serious.
The interchangeable, but again, most of the manufacturers have a very wide gamut of different cameras, but starting from a beginner level, we're talking entry level, some $300 and going up to, way beyond $1,500. So
I'm a fan of the Canon. You know I'm a Canon guy. The Rebels. T4i is an excellent choice, but Nikon has some very good choices as well.
Well, that's the next segment. That's the DSLR, the small DSLR.
We'll do that next week, shall we?
APS-C ones. No. Well, right. Do we have time?
Yeah, we got a few minutes, yeah.
Well, the big advantage of the DSLRs in general is that they have an optical viewfinder, and I personally find that an advantage.
It looks better,
It looks better. You get much quicker information because it is optical. It's pretty much instant. It's in real time. And you usually have faster access to many of the functions. So, again, lots of different models starting at some $500, $600 going up into the over $1,500 range.
Yeah.
And then the full-frame DSLRs, those are...
That's where you get expensive.
That's where you get expensive. Those are the kind of the really serious cameras, but...
the Canon 5D Mark III, the Nikon...
5D Mark III, the 1DX, those are the more professional models there.
Those are nice cameras. I have to say, though, in that same price range, I think the Sony A7, it's actually a little less expensive, is going to be a very interesting dark horse.
It's pretty much the odd one out. The Sony A7 comes at about $1,700, the A7R at $1,300. Oh, no, the other way around, I guess. And we're looking at interchangeable lenses and full frame. And that's one of the big bombs that were dropped over the last month.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing. There's a very, very big fluctuation in the market. Lots of new models coming
that's
out.
That's the problem. If you have a camera system you're happy with now, probably smart to
wait. I would stick with the system I have because the real investment is in the lenses. And if you have several lenses, you invested in glass. The camera body is the kind of the interchangeable part there. And you will typically keep your good lenses and keep using them.
There is an adapter for the Sonys that will allow you to use your existing lenses. For instance, I'm a Canon guy. But then what happens is you have these really big lenses and this really small body.
Camera, big lens.
And it looks like something's just wrong. But I guess we'll all get used to that.
You can adapt most of those interchangeable lens cameras, the smaller ones. You can adapt bigger lenses too. There are adapters for a lot of systems in between. So on the Sony's, right, on the Nikon, on the small one, the Canon M1, M2, there are adapters where you can keep using your old Canon lenses. So, but the gain in size is not as big because, yes, as you said, you have still have the big lenses. You still have the weight and the bulk to carry around.
I have to say, if I'd have to pick one company that seems to be really making waves right now, and it's because of computational photography, it's Sony. In the point-and-shoots, they're making some really nice point-and-shoots, mid-range with the NEX line, and then at the high end with the A7s and the Alphas. These are this is kind of a dark horse.
Amazing, you know? Stuff. So Sony has always been flying kind of under the radar, but they have some really good offerings at very good prices. So I would definitely also look at the Sony.
If you have one takeaway from all of this, that maybe in any of those price ranges, you should at least look at what Sony's offering there, because they're doing some, yes, amazing stuff.
And please go out and try them out.
But you're buying them for somebody. You don't know.
Yeah, then give them a voucher so they can return it.
Gift certificates. Gift certificates. That's the key. Yeah. I got the RX 100, which is a fairly expensive point-and-shoot, but great in low light. Just an amazing camera. Wi-Fi built in. Just really great stuff. And, of course, then there are the specialty cameras like the GoPros for people who want to do action, you know, extreme, yes, sports. Not a bad gift. If you've got a kid who's into skateboarding, snowboarding, skydiving,
there's a whole category just there. Even Sony has one of those action cameras.
They're
really great. Google for action camera, yeah, and you'll find at least five different models from five different manufacturers. Yeah.
And I did say I would tell you my favorite Micro Four Thirds, and I'm a big fan. You know, I just got back from my vacation, was all over the Mediterranean. Lisa and I both took our twinsy OMD cameras from Pentax, the OMD EM5s. We shared lenses because it's Micro Four Thirds. We were able to share lenses back and forth. And we got really, really good pictures. And they're so compact. I was very happy to have that with me.
See my fiancé is a photographer too. And we cannot have the same system because then we would fight over the lenses. we would fight. Oh, no, I want to shoot. This is a 24 millimeters. Can I have the 24? No, I need it right now. Yeah. So she's a Nikon shooter. I'm a Canon shooter. And that's just fine like that.
The new OMD, the EM5, is even better. They've I think, listened to people. But these are expensive cameras. I mean, you know, you're paying a lot of money. These are Micro Four Thirds. But, boy, I just have to say, they're so compact, I don't hesitate to take them with me once I hit the road.
That's very good.
Did I say Pentax? I meant Olympus. Olympus OMD. Yes. Yeah, I didn't mean to say Pentax. Olympus OMD.
And I like them too.
Yeah, I have them. The EM5, but I'm reviewing the EM1 right now, and I think I might end up buying it. Hey, thank you so much. Chris Marquardt, you can follow him. Discover the Top Floor is his website, discoverthetopfloor.com. Our assignment continues. We're looking for pictures that illustrate the word, the concept, the idea of arrival.
Uh-huh. And if you want to see my latest project, go to internationalpinhole.com.
Are you doing pinhole photography?
I'm making a pinhole camera.
You're making one?
I'm making one.
Wow.
Yes. Internationalpinhole.com. It's an analog thing. It's a very specialized thing, and we're doing a very small series. But it's one of my favorite projects ever.
Wow. Internationalpinhole.com. All right. Marquardt International. I can't wait to find out more about that. Thank you, Chris. DiscoverTheTopFloor.com or InternationalPinhole.com. Again, Arrival is the subject. If you want to upload a photo to our Flickr group, go to Flickr.com. You need to be a member, but it's free to join. It's actually a great site for photographers. Our group is the Tech Guy Group. And say hello to our moderator. And I feel bad because we've never given her any credit. She took over from Orbit Gal. Renee Silverman's doing such a good job.
Yes, she
is. Welcoming people into the Tech Guy group, helping you upload your pictures. Do tag it with the word arrival if you're going to submit. And we'll give you a couple more weeks, right? When are we going to review this? Pretty soon, right?
Probably early January.
All right. Early January. So a couple more weeks to take pictures illustrating arrival. And thank you, Renee. I apologize for not giving you credit. This is completely volunteer. She's doing a great job giving you the assignment review, giving you the new assignments and so forth. She's been really a wonderful asset to the Tech Guy group on Flickr.
This is a great community.
Isn't it?
Absolutely great community.
You'll know you're in the right spot when you see that there are 11,000 members. 11,000. But there are only 3,000 photos. So start submitting more photos, okay? Everybody, it's aspirational. Everybody, there's no prize. It's just for fun. Arrival. All right, I'm going to do one. I'm going to do one with the new EM1 and submit it. That's the answer to that.
Hey, I'll hold you to that.
All right.
I'll do one too.
Thank you, Chris. ChrisMarquardt.com also if you want to find out more. Actually, easiest thing to do, go to our website, TechEyeLabs.com. And we'll put a list of the cameras that Chris just recommended, make it easy for you to figure out which camera you want to pick for your holidays. Thanks, Chris. Happy holidays. We'll see you next week.
Happy holidays.
And we'll have more of your calls coming up in just a little bit with me, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. You stay right here. Hey, our show today brought to you by our phone system. How often do you hear that? RingCentral.com. RingCentral is the phone system we chose when we built our new studios. We wanted to do something modern. We didn't want a PBX in the basement. I mentioned this before. Our great IT guy, we love Russell Tammany from Exponentia. Let's give him a plug. Said, I've installed RingCentral on a number of clients. They're very happy with it. I think you'd like it. So we did it. And I couldn't be happier. Zero startup costs. The boss in me like that. It is as low as $20 per month per user. I like that, too. And it's really easy when we hire a new employee to integrate them into the system. We just plug in their phone. We got a deal on the phones. I'll tell you about that in a second, too. And it just works. We can add them to our phone tree. There's no reprogramming of the PBX. It's cloud-based. It is a really great solution for our business. And I think yours, too. Our producers love getting voicemail in their email boxes, faxes as well on the smartphones. There's smartphone apps for iOS and Android. That means they can make business calls on their smartphone. They don't have to give it up, but we pay the, you know, we pay the toll. Incoming business calls, which is awesome. Incoming business calls go right to their smartphone. Yeah, BlackBerry too, I guess. Yeah. BlackBerry, Google Play, and iOS. So, if you know, I never use a fax machine anymore. We do it all through RingCentral, which is great. They also have something they call call functioning, which means you can program the order of devices it'll ring when somebody calls your number. So like my office phone rings, if I don't answer it, and I could set the number of rings, it will then go onto my cell phone, then my home phone. You'd never miss a call again. RingCentral, all-inclusive pricing as low as $20 per month per user, and the apps are free. You can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial and a special offer. When you buy one desk phone, you'll get that second phone free up to a total of 20 phones. So that is a heck of a deal. Call 800-543-9980. That's a number just for you. 800-543-9980. Or visit ringcentral.com. Use a promo code to it. RingCentral really is, you know, you want to do everything in the cloud, right? You don't want to be tied to some big hardware situation. I love RingCentral. We're big fans. 800-543-9980. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Welcome, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, cell phones, home theater, digital photography, and all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside those countries, of course, you could still use Skype and ring us, as they say. That's how they say it in Europe. I'll ring you. 8888-ASK-LEO. Carol in San Diego's next. Hi, Carol. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm the geek in my family. I might have taken on more than I can chew here.
If you don't, you're not a geek.
Okay, well, thank you.
It's part of the deal.
I bought an Apple iPhone 4S on the AT&T network from a reputable online reseller. They said they don't sell unlocked phones. I bought Straight Talk, and I'm waiting for my Straight Talk SIM card to arrive any day, and I want to put the two and two together, and I'm concerned I'm going to have a locked issue.
Yeah, you got an AT&T phone.
But there's no phone number with it, so I can't go on the site and unlock it. There's no phone number.
Yeah, you won't be able to unlock it because, you might be able to find somebody who will unlock it, but AT&T's not going to unlock it. That's okay. Why they lock them.
Right.
How much did you pay for the phone?
$190.
All right, so you paid a subsidized price. That's not the actual cost of the phone. So
yes.
When you bought it from this retailer, it said AT&T locked. What they meant is AT&T
locked.
They just said AT&T.
Well, that if they say a carrier, that means it's locked. Unlocked has no carrier associated with it. And price is a subsidized price. So that price means they expect you to use it with AT&T for 2 full years. It's not used, is it?
Hard to say. I mean, it looks so good.
Was it billed as new?
No.
What kind of phone is it?
iPhone 4S.
It's a 4S. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it must be. If you bought it for $199, it must be subsidized, unless it's a used iPhone.
It's used. I believe it's used.
Okay. In which case, then, you could probably get it unlocked. But you kind of have to figure out how to get it unlocked. I mean, so let me explain what this is all about. Phone companies, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, they lock their phones. They put their logo on it, and you can only use it on that network. The phone checks, and if it's not on that network, it won't work. So that when you buy a phone that has it, you know, it says, oh, this is an AT&T iPhone, it's locked. Now, you can get people to unlock it for you. In fact, if you were an AT&T customer in good standing, you could get them to unlock it, but you're not. Now, there is one exception here. You said you're going with Straight Talk. Now, Straight Talk works on a variety of networks. If you get AT&T, do you know if you're getting the AT&T Straight Lock?
Of course.
Oh, well, then you're fine. I'm sorry. I should have paid closer attention. Yeah, then you're fine.
Okay, so it should arrive any day now, but I called the Walmart gal I spoke to live, said you'll have to unlock it, but online it says if you buy an AT&T Straight Talk,
yes, that's right.
Put it in, it should go.
Yeah, that's fine. So Straight Talk is what we call an MVNO, but they resell T-Mobile and AT&T, and so but if you get the AT&T Straight Talk, you're fine.
Oh, my gosh, great.
Yeah, because it's still on the AT&T network. I'm pretty sure that works just fine.
That's my plan when it arrives on Monday.
Yeah. And see, this is a little confusing because you're getting a phone that has a SIM card, and one would think you could just put a SIM card from anybody in there, but no, it has to be AT&T. But since it's AT&T Straight Talk, I think the chat room's saying yes, it won't be a problem. So
very nice.
Yeah, if not, then you're going to have to, what I would do, take it to your local independent cell phone company. Those guys know how to unlock phones.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who sells everybody, they know how to unlock.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, can I give you $50 to unlock this or whatever?
That's what I was just going to say. How much will that cost me?
Well, don't offer him any money. See if he'll do it for free. Well, it's just really, it's just entering in a code. It's not a complicated thing.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And but beware of buying those online. There are people who sell them on eBay and other places. Beware of that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting really.
No, that's why you go to a storefront.
I'll call Leo.
Yeah, that's. I think it's going to work fine. If it doesn't, then you go into an independent store and you say, you know, come on, can you unlock this for me?
Very nice.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it, Carol. And then just a little word of warning. So, you know, no, because they give you such a deal on these phones when you buy them new, that they require you to use it on their network for 2 years, and they're going to basically make their money back over those 2 years. That's the whole idea. So that's what locked means. And, somebody in the chat room said, filing the AT&T logo off the phone does not unlock it. You actually have to – it's in the phone's firmware. You have to change how the phone works. Most phones are locked. You can buy phones unlocked, but you'll pay the full price unless you do as she did and she bought a used one. That's why it was so inexpensive. That makes sense. But since she is – I think that's going to work. It wouldn't work on T-Mobile, but it would work, I believe, on AT&T Straight Talk. Let me know if it does, Carol, actually. That'd be useful to have in my arsenal. Charlie, Lakeland Village, California. You're next. Hi, Charlie. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo.
Hey, how are you?
I'm excellent. I'm kind of thrilled. I feel like I've known you for about 24, 25 years now. We've spoken.
Well, it's nice to finally meet you, Charlie.
I mean, I'm a Carbonite and ESET customer.
Good.
But my problem today, and I've got a crazy question for you, and I'm sure you probably have the answer right off the top of your head. I'm starting a bakery with my wife. And can I plug the website address?
Yeah.
It's mandfieldsbakery.wix.com/home. It's the only way we get a free website. But I'm trying to put pictures of her baked goods on the website. And my system here, all I've got is Adobe, PS7. And I'm having trouble cleaning up the artifacts around the edges of the baked goods. I want to make it nice and clean so that it looks as nice as it tastes.
So you've got images. You took these images, and you're saying that there's, when you say artifacts, you mean like there's just stuff in the picture you want to get rid of?
Well, like little pixels and stuff. I'm trying to go around with Adobe and do the erase thing and erase all around the edges.
Did you, and these are in the images that you have. They're the originals. You can't get any better quality.
Well, I did take them with my phone. So some of them I should probably use my camera and get a better.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, you shouldn't have artifacting unless you've squeezed it down too much. You're saying that you took these with your camera phone.
Right.
Yeah. So the artifacts you're seeing may be just the camera. It was maybe not as bright a light as you needed, or the camera just did the best it could. If you can, take them again with a better camera. However, of course, Photoshop has the most recent versions of Photoshop, and you have a very recent version, have a very nice tool that you can just basically lasso the cake or the cookie, and it will take it out of the background. That's probably what you want to do. Does the baked good look fine?
Oh, yeah. The picture's fairly decent.
Yeah.
It just seemed like I'm getting little dots around the edge even after I've gone through with the erase tool and erased them all.
And you still see them?
Yes. I don't see them on the pictures in Photoshop, but when I put them up on the web, all of a sudden I'm starting to see them again.
Ah, well, that might be something Wix is doing. It sounds like they're being recompressed. And that might be something that your web's host is doing. Wix is free and inexpensive, but one of the things they do is they might be, and I suspect they are, recompressing those to make them as small as possible. So if they're looking good in Photoshop and then you put them on the web and they look bad again, that's Wix. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So I just thank you to the chat room. I was just checking this Wix.com, which offers you free websites. Create your free stunning website. 41 million users and more. A couple of reasons why this is probably not your best choice for your bakery website. And if you go and you look in the Wix forums, and you'll see that a lot of people are complaining that Wix recompresses images that you upload. And the recompression is what you're seeing. So if you upload an image that looks good and they squeeze it an awful lot, well, it's not going to look good anymore. The problem is that in order to make this work for Wix, they do that so that they use less bandwidth on your website. They make the pictures teensy tiny, but that means they're going to look terrible. There's another disadvantage to using Wix. Now, I like it that it's free, but you also, you read me a very long address, which I've immediately forgotten. If you're a business and you are using a website for your business, spend a little money and have a real domain name that's the actual name of the business.com and get a web provider, a host that doesn't compress your images and make them look terrible. Spend a little money. A free website is never a good choice. In fact, I'm surprised there still are free websites. Remember GeoCities? Angel Fire? They were terrible. I suspect that what Wix's real business is getting you to create that free site and then click the link on the Wix page that says premium so that you'll spend a little bit more money so that your images will look all right. Now, a lot of companies do this. But I got to tell you, once you get to the premium, you're paying as much as you would have for a site like Squarespace, a better hosting solution. So I think you're probably just suffering from overcompression, and it's nothing you could do unless you pay for it on Wix or somewhere else. Karen, Diamond Bar, California, Leo Laporte, the tech. I'm sorry. Yeah, Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Welcome.
I actually have one major problem, one little question, and then a comment. So
all right.
My major problem is with the neat desktop scanner software.
Yeah.
And my concern is the support that I'm not getting.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I love these ideas. I actually have a neat scanner. The idea is it has it's really not the scanner you're getting. It's that software. Because the idea is you scan in receipts and documents and stuff, and then the software kind of files it away.
Well, I was doing that. I was closing my office. I'm a physician, and it was a big deal to scan in all kinds of documents.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to put it in boxes and pay storage.
Right.
I found out in my trial and error that Neat is not supported by Dropbox, or Dropbox doesn't support Neat. So then I transferred the files to an external drive because I had to reformat the computer. I now cannot get the files back up. I can see them. Now, they have very strange customer support. You email them your problem. Ultimately, they email you back with a solution that usually doesn't work. Then you email them again.
It's finally, kind of a slow process, in other words.
Four emails along, I finally said, I was very, very angry. I'm ready to go on Yelp and do a little Yelping there. Because the consumer is really at the mercy of the tech support.
Right.
So finally they said, you can talk to a live person. Okay, now this is now five emails later. When I talk to the live person, they do not have remote access. Carbonite has remote access. All kinds of other programs I have some sort of access that where the tech person can look at your computer to figure out what to do.
Right.
I'm somewhat savvy, but this is not. I don't think this is a very usable program. I also have the other one, the SnapScan. That software is a little different. It's translatable into a format that you can move.
This is a big deal, by the way. When you scan stuff, you do not want to put it in what I call a proprietary format, because then you're absolutely at the mercy of whoever. Proprietary is always bad. So they're not scanning it to a PDF or some other format. They're scanning it to, what is the Neat document format that they're scanning it to? Do you know?
I don't know. It's got some strange letters after it, okay. And I don't know what it is.
I would guess.
They have NBAK is one of them. NWDB is another one. Yeah. They have all kinds of strange ones, and I can't translate this. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I would
move them over to PDF files. That was my error. I thought it was just fine to leave it the way it is. So I don't know. I get annoyed when I hear these ads for the Neat scanner, and I think, buyer beware.
Yeah, I would guess that there is a way to get into those files, that they are in a format that probably is similar to PDF, just a little bit different. And I'm sure that if you can get the Neat software running and can open them with the Neat software, that you could then export them into PDF.
Otherwise, because when I pull up the Neat software, it says the software has stopped working. But we will contact you if we find a solution.
Oh, that's terrible.
And it shuts down.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, live and learn. You never want to use programs that scan into some unusual place. Is it a single file, a database with all of your documents in it?
Oh, there's a ton of it. I was doing it from more than one computer.
Yeah.
I have a lot to scan in.
Yeah. I mean, I wish. I mean, I can't. It's hard for me to help you because, I just don't have the time to go through all of this and figure it out. But for some reason, the program stopped working. Unfortunately, the data that you have used, you have scanned, is not readable by anything besides that. I think the most fruitful thing for you to do would be to try to figure out how you could read those files without the help of Neat.
Okay. If I want to complain to the company, who is the person that I complain to? Because it feels like everything is going on deaf ears.
Well, I don't know about Neat, but in general, if you complain to the CEO, almost all companies, office of the CEO, it sounds like Neat may not be so neat. Neat is not so neat. Let me see. Jim Foster is the CEO. So I would write to Jim Foster, CEO of the Neat company, and say, hey, Jim, I just complained about you on national radio. Maybe you want to fix this because it's not working. Now, I want to mention one thing. Your physician, if those are patient records, you probably shouldn't put them on Dropbox. That's not going to be HIPAA compliant.
These weren't.
Okay, good. You understand the requirements. You understand the HIPAA requirements. Yeah, and Dropbox is not HIPAA compliant as far as I know.
Okay. Okay, second question is, I am wanting to know the difference between Microsoft Office, Kingsoft, and OpenOffice. And are they usually compatible?
Okay,
or
hang on a sec, because we're going to take a break. And that's a good question. There's free and there's paid. What's the difference? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We were talking to Karen in Diamond Bar. She's got a whole big document database stored in Neat Receipts, and she can't run Neat Receipts to open it. You know, once somebody suggested in the chat room, it's not a bad idea, Karen. If you can find another computer or another friend and install the Neat software there, bring the database open, you might be able to open it. Once you can open it, then you should extract everything and put it in a standard format.
Yeah,
like
I have attempted that, and it doesn't work.
So then it sounds like the database is corrupted, alas.
Well, that's what it said when I pulled it up. So the database is...
So what you want to know from Neat is there a way to rebuild the database? There almost always is.
Okay, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, rebuild database. That's what you want to do. Now, as for the differences between these different office suites, now everybody uses Microsoft Office. It's now a subscription, you know, $10 a month, and you get all of the Office on, you know, install on different computers, et cetera. And I have to say, it is kind of the standard, the gold standard for office suites. But if you don't want to spend a penny, OpenOffice is a free open source solution. There's a sister product called LibreOffice. It's essentially the same. Both of them are for simple work, very good. A lot of people use Google Docs, which is free as well, and can open and read most Microsoft Office documents. They just don't have as much capability.
What about Kingsoft? Are they compatible with OpenOffice? Like
Kingsoft?
Yes.
Not familiar with that one.
Okay. It looks just like Office. Actually.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I wonder if it's related to OpenOffice. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay.
Usually, right. It's all funny because nobody, you don't see new office suites very much anymore. But this is an interesting.
Just like Microsoft Office.
Yeah, I'll have to learn more about this. They've come from out of nowhere. I don't really know what they do or where they came from. It's not something you could easily. I'd be very surprised if somebody out of nowhere wrote a whole new office suite, spreadsheets, presentation manager, word processor, that was any good. So my guess is it either is OpenOffice. Oh, it's made in China. It's from China. Interesting. It's Chinese company. So maybe they have. Maybe they've secretly been working in. You know the support issues you just had with Neat?
Okay.
I think if you're talking to a company in China, it's going to be even better.
Oh, wow. Oh, I can't wait.
Stick with Microsoft Office. It's cheap.
Okay. Other thing is, you know, you had recommended the Nexus 5.
Yes.
So I went out and bought it.
Good.
And I was so excited.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. It has very poor
connectivity?
Get the signal. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you using it on you're using it on T-Mobile or AT&T?
No. PCS Mobile, but actually then it moves over to T-Mobile because they're
Yeah. So it's not that's not the phone. That's the phone company you're using.
I have two. If I have two phones with PCS Mobile in the same house, this one has lower bars.
Oh, okay.
So then I bought a Z-Boost Zoho thingy from Radio Shack today, and I'm hoping to boost the signal in my house. Maybe I've got a dead zone or something.
Yeah, or just try a better carrier. You might. I think if you might, a better carrier might do a better job. You're in Diamond Bar. I'm not sure who the best carrier is. I'm pretty sure it's not PCS. Chat room saying, whatever you do, don't invite Karen over to fix your computer. She's just, sometimes people have a little cloud of bad luck with technology floating over them. And that's kind of, I feel for you, Karen. It may be, and certainly there is variation among cell phones in their ability to pick up signal. Remember when the iPhone 4 came out and Apple designed the antenna very poorly so that your hand blocked it when you held it normally? Steve Jobs' very famous response, you're holding it wrong, didn't really wash with customers. This happens sometimes. I have not noticed any particular problems using the Nexus 5 on T-Mobile. I don't hear from people who are saying they're having trouble with it. But if you have a weak signal, if you have a situation where the signal isn't great, it may indeed be that you'll notice a difference between one phone and another. Sprint, in my opinion, by the way, PCS uses Sprint. Sprint is not good in most areas. I don't use a Sprint phone here in Northern California because we just don't have good Sprint service, unfortunately. How could you be using that phone with Sprint? I don't think you can use it. Can you use a Nexus 5 with Sprint? I don't think so. That may be part of the problem, Karen. Frank in Carlsbad, Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. Hi, Frank.
Hi, good afternoon, Leo. Felice Festivas and Aaron Gobra.
Ah, thank you very much. I take it you're speaking in Celtic to me here. Gaelic.
A little
Gaelic.
A little bit. My sons, Mike and Rob, and I have been ardent fans since Call for Help and Screensavers.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
We've loved you for, I hate to say decades, but anyway, I've got a question for you about carbonite.
Okay.
I keep it up and unfortunately lost internet connection for a day or so and hit the backup button and noticed that it, while it was going through its rigmarole, it came up with a file that was backing up that was G-O-O, basically Google, but G-O-O-G slash malware slash S-H-A-V-A-R and, you know, a couple more things. But I was only, I was alarmed that it would be, you know, backing up something that could be potentially hazardous should I have to be.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. It's a folder called Goog, G-O-O-G.
G-O-O-G slash, or hyphen, I'm sorry, hyphen. M-A-L-W-A-R hyphen S-H-A-V-A-R comma S-B-S-T-O-R-E. Okay?
All right.
And that was it. That's fine.
I just looked it up, and it is Google's anti-phishing stuff. It is safe to back it up. It is part of what Google. It's fine. It's an entry. You have Firefox or Chrome on your system?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that comes with either Firefox or Chrome. It's so that they can prevent you from getting phished. It's a database of sites that if you click a link in a fish, you know what a phishing email is?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, if you click a link in a phishing email, that site will be blocked by the files in that folder. It's their anti-phishing stuff. So, in other words, while it says malware in the name, it is in fact not malware. It's fighting malware.
Perfecto.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah. And by the way, and you're right to think this, you don't want to back up viruses. And generally, viruses are not in document files, but it's completely possible for a backup program, Carbonite included, to back up malware. So you're right to pay attention to that. But in this case, it's harmless.
What do you think about, I noticed that they have, pardon me, mirror imaging. I'm getting ready to...
Yeah, this is something new, and I like it.
Off this computer, because it's still running 7, it's... or no, it's not. It's not even running. It's running XP. It's about 6-7 years old, and it's going to crash the, you know. So, I'm not sure.
You don't want to restore a mirror image from an old computer to a new computer, because we are not a mirror is everything. Operating system, device drivers. Don't do that. Just restore your data. And on the new computer, you already have an operating system. You don't want to reinstall the old one. Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. So somebody in the chat room is looking at Kingsoft Office. It's free. He says it's impressive. They've got iOS, Android. They've got PC versions. Okay, am I just being paranoid, just thinking to myself, yeah, a free office suite made by the Chinese government. Wonder what they would do that for. Am I? If I were in China, I wouldn't use the official NSA Microsoft Office suite. I just, it seems to me it's free for a reason. And just a thought. I don't know. We do know. I mean, it's not that far-fetched. We do know that foreign, international, how do you say it politically correctly, international spy agencies do, in fact, put back doors in software because they're doing industrial espionage. I'm not saying they're terrorists. They're doing industrial espionage. They'd like to know what Ford is up to. They want to know what IBM's thinking. So, same reason that the U.S. government recommended that we not buy cell phones from Huawei. It's partially owned by the Chinese military. And one can probably assume there's back doors in it. Of course, we know our own government does the same thing. So, I don't know. I there's probably a back door in Microsoft Office, too. I don't know. What do we got to hide, right? Privacy. Hello? It's a dead issue. Hi, James. Leo LaPorte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Really quickly, I just want to say something. Hi, Mom.
I'm on the radio, Ma.
Yeah. I have a question for you really fast. Last night, I went ahead and downloaded off of a website that I trust called softonic.com, Sony Vegas, as I'm looking into doing editing stuff.
Okay.
And I looked up how, because it told me I needed a serial number and an authorization code. And I went ahead and I said, okay, I checked on Google, see what I could look up and find out. And I found on Yahoo Answers in Spanish, and I had it translated, a list of serial numbers.
Yeah, none of which are legal. You understand that Vegas is a $900 program or $700 program, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so if you didn't pay for it, and you didn't pay for the serial number, that's pirated software.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, well, especially if you're going to make this your business. Look, I'll be honest with you. Probably more copies of Photoshop were pirated than any other program in the world. And yet, they sell a lot of them. Adobe hates it, but I think a lot of people like you were students, and that's when they first got exposed to Photoshop. They couldn't afford an $800 program. Yeah. Vegas is a great program. It's a great video editor. It's definitely worth the money. It's a lot more than Apple's charging for Final Cut, but
yeah,
it's a great program. But just so you know, you have to decide this on your own. Out of your own ethics, that's pirated software. You can go to Sony and get some less expensive versions. They might even have a studio version. It's certainly a great idea. I admire you for wanting to study this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and do it, but do it ethically. Enter into your new career with ethics. Why not?
All right. Yeah, I'm on my laptop right now. Just uninstall the software because it's right there, so might as well.
Yeah, and that's the other risk, of course, is that software that you get from an unofficial site, let's be generous and just call it an unofficial site, is often laden with malware.
Yeah, that's probably not good.
Yeah. So contact Sony. See if they've got a student edition. That's what you want. And you know what? If Sony's smart, they're going to have one because you want to get kids who are coming up in the world and starting to learn how to edit. You want them to use your stuff because they'll be loyal to you in the future. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know off the top of my head, but I would not be at all surprised. Adobe does have student plans. If Sony doesn't have a student affordable student version, go to Adobe and get the student version of the Creative Suite. And then you'll get Premiere, which is an excellent, excellent editor. Yeah, I'm glad you asked, though, James. That shows integrity. Good luck in your career, too. We need more editors. Personally, I mean me, I need more editors. Hey, Peter, Redlands, California, Leo LaPorte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. A few weeks ago, you had mentioned that we had an option of using Linux as an operating system instead of Windows.
Yes.
I was wondering how it might run the Windows and maybe even the older DOS applications.
It doesn't run any Windows apps. It doesn't run any DOS apps. You can run Wine, which will let you run some Windows apps, but not all and not always perfectly. You can run an emulator like OneBox on Linux, and then you can run Windows or DOS. But Linux is not it does not attempt to be compatible with Microsoft. It is its own operating system. It's based on Unix. Very powerful, very secure. There are free or inexpensive analogs for almost every program you'd use on Windows. You just can't use the Windows programs on it without some special software.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice. If you have an older computer, I generally recommend it if you have an older computer, you don't want to keep running XP because Microsoft stops supporting it in a couple of months. Putting Linux on there will often run very well, if not better, on an old computer than the Windows equivalent Windows version. It makes it more secure. It's good for browsing, email, that kind of thing. Banking, it's great for. If you're doing something more advanced, you want to play games, that kind of thing, it might not be the ideal choice. Although I have to say, the folks at Steam are making a Steam box based on Linux. It's going to be their gaming platform, so that might not even be true going forward. One more here, I think. Let's see if we can get her in. Dana, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Thank you, Leo, for taking my call.
Sure, Dana.
I teach online in a nursing program.
Neat.
And we have asked our students to put their information, resume, and information into an electronic portfolio that they can have then to share with prospective employers. And,
very good.
You know, it helps them keep all their stuff in one spot.
Great idea.
We've been using Weebly, but then we found out that Weebly is not secure with their information unless they have the subscription copy.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something else that would be secure for them, but obviously these are, you know, people that don't have a lot of money. We're not, you know, we don't want to.
And your school doesn't run anything for them, like Moodle or something like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, yeah. Some schools do that, and that's a nice solution for a school. Educational software that often allows people to put a portfolio online. And then the school would be running it. The school could keep it secure. But absent that, I would probably use maybe Blogger, which is Google's solution at blogspot.com, WordPress.com. When you say secure, do you mean it needs to be HIPAA compliant?
Not necessarily. I'm primarily worried about, like, their resume. You know, would have their home address, phone.
You want it password protected. I understand now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me think. Is there a free web hosting service that will give you a private site? That's what you want. That you could then give a prospective employer a login to.
Right. Exactly.
You know what might be a good way to do this is for them to each of them create a Google account, free Google account, and then use Google Drive to create a Google website. They have a page creator that would be private. You could only somebody who has access to that. If you search for Google Sites,
okay,
that's absolutely free. It's reliable because it's Google. I think it's actually sites.google, sites.google.com. You can do exactly what you want. Because I have a Google account, I have, in effect, a Google site. They can do that and create a page that'll do everything they want, completely private. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.